Okay, so hopefully everyone knows we're going to be talking about the Christ Resurrection Day. We'll have two lessons on that, one tonight and then one on Sunday morning. You might ask, well, why this particular topic? You all recall that during the study of the Gospel of John, we had an extended class. You all remember that? We had four extended classes. And one thing in our study that when you study the Gospel of John, you'll find that there are things that John records that the other Gospels don't record. So in the extended class, we went through certain things in John, but we harmonized that with the other three Gospels. We did that on a couple exercises, you maybe recall. For example, the trials of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, he records a trial with Annas. Well, the other Gospel writers don't record that trial. So we went and we studied the other three Gospels, put all four Gospels together, and we see that there are actually a total of six trials that Jesus went through. And we were able to attain that by harmonizing all four of the Gospels. So we did that. Then we also did an exercise where we looked at all the witnesses that Jesus appeared to. And again, some are recorded in one Gospel, some are not in the other. So we compiled all four of the Gospels and came up with a composite list of how many times Jesus had separate appearances to different groups of people, and it turned out to be 12. But there was one other exercise that I didn't have time to, we didn't have time to work on, and that has to do with the events that are recorded on Resurrection Day. And what you find, just like you find a lot in the Gospel of John, things are recorded in the Gospel of John that are not recorded in the other three Gospels. And they're all part of the truth. So what we're going to do here for the next two classes is basically take all the information we have from the four Gospels and harmonize them to kind of get a complete composite picture of all the events that happened on this one day. Now, when you think about the Resurrection Day, you probably say, well, Christ rose from the dead, and you may have think about other things that happened on that particular day, and likely everyone will have a different, say, I remember in the gospel, this Gospel, this was recorded. You say, well, I remember in this Gospel, this was recorded. So what we're trying to do is come up with an integrated composite list. And so that is our objective tonight, one of our objectives, is to prepare an integrated chronological account of what happened on the day one using all the four Gospels. Now, what you have in this exercise here for tonight, we're going to try to complete this objective. And so we're going to go through all the Gospels and all the events and come with a composite list. And in the handout that hopefully you had time to work on, when I went through that exercise, I discovered that there were about 14 different events when you compare the entire four Gospels and you put them together. And so that's these exercises. Go ahead and list and do and put them in an integrated chronological format the best we can. Now, you're going to see, and you probably, as you went through the exercise, saw there is some uncertainty. It's not always clear. There might be a couple of ways you could go. So we'll kind of do our best job on that. And I challenge you that as we go through this thing, as you fulfill the exercise, you may have a different thought about which event comes first or second as we go through this record. So feel free to speak up. I'm by no means necessarily the right answer. So we all learn together as we study and check the gospel against what we have prepared. Now, the 14 events. We're going to look at 14 events. Now, it may be, you may have, when you look at the entire record, some events you may combine. A particular event, you might add separate items. So there's nothing special about the number 14. You may have 13 or 15. But what is important that we take all the information and come up with a list. Now, with the 14, what's interesting and interesting is if you checked all the verses what Gospels, you got 14 events. And you ask yourself, okay, we got four Gospels talking about the Resurrection Day. Of all those 14 events, how many of those events all four Gospels record? 14. And you would think, well, there'd probably be a majority of them. Well, in fact, you're only going to find one event that's recorded in all four Gospels. Out of the 14, you're going to find there are four events that are unique. They're only reported in one Gospel. So our job, of course, is to prepare an integrated approach. Now, you would think the Holy Spirit, of course, has preserved this word, has guided the gospel writers. You know, if we were to write what happened on the first day, we would, like in a history book, we would compile one account, have all the events. But we find that this is not only the case, but in Scripture, in the Gospels, is the Holy Spirit evidently expects us to gather the facts and to compile them. And so I guess he could easily have had a complete record in one of the Gospels, but he didn't choose that. So what that forces us to do is to do some work and try to integrate all this information into one composite gospel. And so that's interesting, and that's not unique, right? We talk about the plan of salvation. Like, do we go to one verse and it's got all the steps that require? No. We have to prepare and compile all these different verses and come up with a composite picture. And that's true for many subjects in Scripture, is we have to gather all the information from all the records, put them together to come up with a composite. So that's no different from the way it is, and evidently the Holy Spirit thought that that's why he presented it, and that's what we have to do to get the complete word. Okay, so when we do that, we're going to hopefully tonight accomplish this first objective. Then on Sunday, what we're going to do in part two is we're going to look at some lessons. What kind of lessons can we learn from all this information? And you say, why are we doing this? Well, it's pretty obvious, right? You know, our faith is built upon the Scripture. God has told us that we need to read, to build our faith, continue to read, continue to build. And we know that when we study, we know that we don't have all the information. We know with time, we continue to learn more and more things. And this is a particular vital subject because it's a cornerstone of faith, right? What's more important than the resurrection of Christ? If he didn't rise from the dead, our faith, it wouldn't be Christianity. Our faith would be vain. And the resurrection looks upon in the New Testament as a cornerstone. It's the event, Todd talked about that on Sunday, where the resurrection powerfully declares that Jesus is who he is, and it looks to the resurrection. So as we go through all this, it's not just an academic study. We are here to deepen our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So with that, let's go ahead and do the 14 events. So what I'm going to do, we got 14 events here, and hopefully you had some time to look at it. And so the first event is only recorded in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. So what did you put down for the first event? That chronological probably happened at one of the first events. Okay, the Sabbath was over. Okay. So the first event here is on the first day of the week, the women prepare to come to the grave site. Now, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16 and note something. So as Bible studies, we want to be very discerning and pay close attention to what's been recorded, pay attention to the verbs and the tense. Note in Mark 16:1. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Might come. Okay, note that. Now note in verse 2, and very early on the first day, they came. Past tense in verse 2. 16 is future tense. So I suggest that the first event here is, we talk about women coming to the grave, but they were planning to do that already. And evidently, Mark 16:1 is they're preparing to come. They got the spices ready. They have this plan. And maybe they're on their way to the grave. But you note the distinction in Mark 16:2. Now they come to the grave. And so this is an event that happened before they actually get to the grave. Okay. What about event number two? Provided a verses, Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4. So what happened in Matthew 28, 2 through 4? Right. So the earthquake happened. The stone was rolled away by the angel. And, of course, it frightened the Roman guard. And, of course, they fled. Now, you may be wondering here about Matthew 28:1. So again, we're paying attention to the verbs and trying to put in them in a logical sequence what happens. So that's Matthew 28:2. Well, look at Matthew 28:1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And then we get to verse 2, and already when they got there, the stone has already moved away. That tells us that the stone was, already, of course, already moved away before the women got there. So that's event number two. And again, interesting note, only recorded in Matthew. Okay, event number three. Several verses there. And this is the one where all four Gospels record some information about it. So what happened on event number three? Say again, Sally.
The women went to see the sepulchre.
Okay. So here now we find the women come to the gravesite and they enter the tomb. And again, all four Gospels record that. Okay, what about event number four? And in there, we only have it recorded in John chapter 20, verse 2. So what happened at event number four? Right. So here is one where this is an event only recorded in the Gospel of John. Paying close attention to Mary Magdalene. And it says there, of course, when the women come to the grave, we're going to talk about that, which women they were. Mary Magdalene, of course, is one of them. And so what happens here is that Mary Magdalene reports back to Peter and John. And again, this is only recorded in John chapter 20 and verse 2. Okay. What about event number five? Okay, right. So all the women are at the grave. Mary Magdalene leaves to go report to Peter and John. She leaves the other women. And so now in event number five, the other women stay at the grave site and have a discussion with the angels, and then they leave back to report back to the apostles. Now, as you're familiar with the record, the angels told the women that Christ has arisen. We know that. When Mary Magdalene goes and reports to Peter and John, she doesn't report that. So that shows that Mary Magdalene, the angels came later, and Mary Magdalene was not there when the angels were talking to the women. Because when Mary Magdalene goes and tells Peter and John, what she reports is the body's missing. She doesn't say anything about risen. She doesn't think Christ has arisen or know any information about that. We have no record of that. So again, the other women stay at the gravesite, have a discussion with the angels, and then leave to report to the apostles. Okay, event number six. At Matthew 28:8 and Luke 24:9-11. Right. So in this particular event, so the angels have talked to the other women, minus Mary Magdalene. And so the angels go tell the disciples. And so now the other women go and report to the apostles what the angels tell them. And, of course, the angel says Christ has arisen. Okay, event number seven. Okay. Right. So Peter and now John go to the grave. So at this point, Peter and John have received two reports, one from Mary Magdalene, the body's missing. The other report evidently from the... the women now have reported to the apostles what the angels told them, that Christ has arisen. And you note that in Luke 24:12. Note this where this event takes place. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and in verses 9 through 11, talks about the other women reporting to the apostles. And it says, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So not only to Peter and John, the 11, evidently there's other people involved and to the rest. And note Luke 24:12. Right after that event in Luke 24:12, but Peter and John ran to the tomb. You find that in Luke 24:12. And of course you have a more expansive record of that in John 20 verses 3 through 10. So now Peter and John go to the gravesite. Now they had two reports now. And so now they go to the grave site. Okay, what about event number 8? Okay. So Jesus is going to appear to Mary Magdalene. But remember, Mary Magdalene already reported to Peter and John. So that tells you, even though it's not said, Mary Magdalene returns to the grave. And this is going to be the third time Mary Magdalene is going to be at the grave. She was there the day that Jesus died because they went to anoint the body to see they went to the grave to see where the body was laid. That's when Jesus died. And so they come back early on the first day. Mary Magdalene goes back and reports to Peter and John. Now she's going to go back to the grave. So this is the third time that Mary Magdalene has been at the gravesite. And so Mary Magdalene goes back to the gravesite. Jesus appears to her and talks to her. And then she's going to go back and report that back to the apostles. And we find a very extensive record of that, of course, in the Gospel of John. We talked about that when we studied John chapter 20 about the resurrection day. We have a very, and if you've looked at the record and very familiar with the record, we have a very intimate conversation that Jesus had only with Mary Magdalene, and that is only recorded in the Gospel of John. And we made this point many, many times in our study of the Gospel of John, how the Gospel of John reports very intimate details that the other three Gospel writers do not report. And this is one of them, where he has this very detailed conversation, and interesting, only appears to her and has this first, and has this record. Okay, so that's number 8. Okay, what about number 9? I provided Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 through 10. What happens in that event? Okay, they already done that. They're on their way back reporting to Jesus, and this is where Jesus actually appears now to the women. So he's already appeared to Mary Magdalene. The women are on their way, and they're on their way. Note that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them. Where are they going? They're going to report back to the apostles and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And so Jesus now appears to the other women. That'd be event number 9. Now, one of the uncertainties here, I mentioned that there are some uncertainties as you prepare this record. With this sequence of events, as I've laid out here, it has you, the women, reporting back to the apostles twice. Once what the angels reported, and a second time after they saw Jesus. Now, it could be that there was only one meeting of the women to the apostles telling about both events. But best of my knowledge, it appears that there are two reports from the other women. And so that's something, there's some uncertainty whether that was, did they really have two of them? With the record that I've put together here, based on what's been revealed, that's what I believe is to be the case. Okay, what about event number 10 in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15? Yes. Question?
On that one.
Yes.
On verse 10, it increased Mary Magdalene with the other women. So I'm not sure what that one was. I thought that's when they...
Yeah, I'm not so sure Mary Magdalene is in there, Elizabeth. I'll go back and look at that because we know that from John's account that Mary Magdalene went and talked to Peter, and then... And we know that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene alone and then the women. So I'm persuaded that the women here in Matthew 28 does not include Mary Magdalene. But is there something there that you think it does?
No, it wasn't another verse. I have it here, but I can't remember where it was. Oh, yeah, it was Luke 24. Luke 24, 24 through 25.
Okay, what verse in Luke 24?
10.
10?
Now they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and also the other women.
Right. So, Well, we know from John, Mary Magdalene has already reported. This is where it's important that when Mary Magdalene talked to Peter and John, she said the body's missing. She did not report that Jesus has risen from the angels. So the question here is in Luke 24:10, is this one report or is this two reports kind of divided? So I'll look at that. Good point. Yes. Okay. All right. So this is why we're got a Bible class to get input from y'all on that. So I'll go back and look at that. That's a good verse Elizabeth brought up. I'll go back and look at that. Okay. So let's move on now to event number 10. What happened in event number 10? Right. So some of the guards report back to the Jewish rulers, and there's bribing going on in Matthew 28:11-15. Note here how it's interesting. Everything concerning the Roman guard only occurs in one account, and that is in Matthew. It's interesting, such an important thing to know about the guards and all this payoff. Why isn't it recorded in the other gospel? Well, again, that Holy Spirit decided to reveal what he did to the different gospel writers. But we do note that. So that was event number 10. Okay, event number 11. Gave you two verses, and actually we have another verse not in the Gospels, 1 Corinthians 15:5. So what happened in event number 11? Right. So the Lord has appears to Peter, to Simon. We know in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, Simon is mentioned here. And Luke records it in 24:34. And you say, well, how do you know it happens now at this particular event? We're going to see here in a little bit when the two men from Emmaus, when Jesus appears to them, the two men from Emmaus go and they report to the apostles what occurred in meeting Jesus. And in that report, they tell the disciples. And also, he has also appeared to Peter. Now, here is something that you may have, you know, this is a very surprising event. That the Lord appeared to Simon, I believe Peter, I don't know who else it could be, one of the apostles on a separate occasion. And what we find here is hardly anything is said about that. And we'll cover that in the narrative. And this is happening here before the Lord appears to all the apostles late Sunday night. And so Peter already has had an appearance by the Lord Jesus. Now, he's already went to the gravesite, and we'll cover the narrative on what they understood, what they believed when they went to the gravesite. So Peter's already been to the gravesite. They've heard all these reports. And here we find the Lord has also appeared to Peter. Okay, event number 10. I said 10. Excuse me. Event number 12. Okay. Jesus appears to the disciples on the way to Emmaus. Right. And here we find that this was a pretty expansive discussion, and we see that from Luke. When we look at the total gospel accounts of the first day, the one writer that has the most information in terms of the number of verses on the first day is Luke. And even more than John does. But what Luke records, half of his recordings all center around this discussion that Jesus has with the two men with Emmaus, which is kind of unique. And so we think of the apostles, we think about the women, but we have these two disciples from Emmaus, and Jesus spends some time with them. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. and a quite expansive record in the Gospel of Luke talking about that. And okay, so event number 13. And this one you can combine with 12, but what did you put for item number 13? Right, the two disciples go back and report to the apostles what had occurred. And then the last event, number 14. What's the last event? Right. He appears to all the 11. And of course, it's minus, it says 11, but of course, it's minus Thomas. Of course, Judas has already killed himself, so there's actually 10 apostles that he appears to. He calls 11. Here's another figure of speech where, of course, Judas is out of the picture. So now the apostles as a whole refer to 11. But again, it's the negative, part of the whole. It doesn't, not actually 11, it's actually 10. Because Thomas is not there and Judas is not there. So that gets you down to apostles, even though it says 11. Okay, so those are the 14 events. And I'll go back and look about the verse that Elizabeth brought out. So what we've done so far, basically, we've accomplished our first objective, right? Here is a detailed chronological record of the 14 events that happened on the first day, the best that I can do. And think about it. If you have any other comments, please let me know. Now, we're going to do this exercise here in two formats. So the first format was basically a list, right? We got a list of 14 items. We've got scriptures to go with it. So now what we're going to do, now we're going to do another level of detail. The second format is a narrative. So we're going to take these 14 events and take all the scriptures and compose a narrative of these 14 events. And that was the second part of the exercise. And now we're going to look at a lot more detail here. And what I did on this narrative is compose a narrative, best I could, of these events and the information that's provided. And what I did is I had you fill in the blanks. And now we're going to get a lot more detail about some of the things that happened on the first day. So what I want to do in this particular part of our study here is I'm going to go ahead and read the narrative as I have composed. And I'm going to stop wherever there's a blank. And wherever I stop, I'm going to be asking you, anyone, just on your own, speak up and tell me what is the answer that fits into the blank. A lot of these are easy. Some are maybe a little bit more difficult. So I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to stop, and you tell me the fill in the blank. Okay, we'll start with number one. On the first day of the week, the women come to the grave site to anoint the body with spices. They prepared the spices on the day Jesus died, but could not complete the anointment because of the Sabbath. If you go to Luke chapter 23, 55 through 56, what you find there is they already had the spices prepared. They went to the grave site, and that day before the Sabbath, they prepared the spices. So the women are already thinking ahead, right? They have to anoint the body. They're not able to because everything's being rushed. Get the body in before the Sabbath starts. But they have already got planned. They got the spices all ready to go. But, of course, they got to wait for the Sabbath. Okay, so let's pick up the reading. These women were Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and possibly other unnamed women. So there are four named women. You come with that by looking at all the verses and compiling it. Now, there could be some other women. In Luke's account, Luke 24:10, he mentions about Mary Magdalene and Mary, and he adds Joanna, and he says, and Joanna's the first, the one that's not named in the other one, and other women. So Salome hasn't been mentioned, so that's one woman that Luke doesn't have, but he has women plural. So four named women, maybe more. Now, women could be used in the sense that even though it's a plural, it could be used in a singular. It might have been just four women. But at least four women, possibly more. Okay, let's go ahead, Elizabeth.
It says the mother of Absalom. That doesn't belong there. It just identifies her as the mother. Absalom and James.
Okay, in Mark 16:1, let's look at Mark 16:1 where we find Salome being mention. Let's see if it says the mother. I don't believe it does, but we'll check it. Yeah, look at Mark 16:1. That shows where Salome was. So when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, that's first Mary, second Mary, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. There's no mother there. Okay. So the mother is the mother of James and Simon. Okay, so let's pick up to number two. A severe occurred on the first day, and the large stone was rolled away by an angel of the Lord who sat on the stone. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his garment was white as snow. The Roman guards shook for fear and became like dead men. They flee or leave. They leave the gravesite. Okay, let's move on to number three. The women come to the gravesite and were wondering who would roll away the large stone. Let's just stop here and just make a comment. So here are these women, four of them. They got the spices already prepared. They already know, they've already seen the gravesite and the large stone. They already know about that. What's going through their minds? You know, they're going on their way. They said, who's going to remove? There are four of them, maybe more. Four women not going to be able to move the large stone, according to them, because they're asking, who's going to do this? But yet, they're still going to the gravesite. You'd think they would say, well, we need more help. We need to bring maybe some of the male disciples or something. But they're, I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking, providence of God, I don't know. But here they're acting on, they would need to anoint the body. They got a problem, evidently an unresolved problem, but they're still going. They're not stopping. Mark, you had a comment? Right. Okay, so let's pick up. When they arrived, the stone was already removed, and they entered the tomb and found the I'm sorry, I didn't get... Let's go through... I got behind on my slides here. Sorry about that. Hopefully, for those who didn't have a chance to do the exercise, hopefully we've covered that. So we're on number three. Sorry about that. So they... Okay, so let's go ahead and do number three. They came... They wondered who would wear our stone. When they arrived, the stone was already removed, and they entered the tomb and found the tomb empty, or specifically, they say that the body is missing. That's what they report to. That's what they report. It was Mary Magdalene reports to Peter and John. The body is missing. They've taken away the Lord. We don't know where he's at. Okay, let's go on to number four. Okay, blank, blank. What's blank, blank? Mary Magdalene leaves the other women at the gravesite, and she runs to report to Peter and John. She says they have taken the body of the Lord out of the tomb, and they do not know where the body is. So I don't know, before this class or before doing this work, you know, normally, I don't know, sometimes we have in our mind, the women went, Jesus appeared to them, and they believe in the resurrection, body is risen. But you note here that when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, and the women, body's missing. Well, wait a minute. All these prophecies, everything Jesus says can rise from the dead. You would think they would say, well, oh, he's risen from the dead. No, it's not that. They're still over here. The body is missing. Someone has stole away the body. Well, what about all this information and things that Jesus has said and all this miracle performed? He's going to rise on the third day. They still don't believe that. All right, so let's go on now to number five. Blank, blank. Okay. Okay, two angels. Now, men is the right answer. You look at the other Gospels, it is angels. One of the Gospels report only angel. There have always been some questions, was there one or two angels? Well, one of the accounts says there are two angels. But anyway, two angels appeared to the other women at the gravesite. One of the angels was wearing, was sitting to the right wearing a bright robe. The other wore dazzling apparel. The women were told not to be afraid. The angels tell them that he is not here, but he has arisen. Remember, they said that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise again on the third day. The women remember Jesus' words. They are instructed to go tell the apostles that he has arisen, and he is going before them to Galilee. The women run quickly to report to the apostles. Now, this next one here is basically a collection of all the different emotions that they have. So there are probably going to be different ones because this is not a full extensive list, but there's actually four, maybe more. So what report to the women about their condition? What were the women when they're, after the angels tell them the Christ has risen? What kind of conditions were they? Pardon?
Fear?
Frightened? Joy? Okay. Well, look at, you're going to see they were trembling, they were astonished, they were afraid, they were joyful, but said nothing to each other. Now, think about that. You know, their emotional condition, they're very, well, the words kind of really describe it. And it has a pretty emotional impact on them. They're going back to report to the apostles what the angels have told them, and they're not even talking to each other. You know, they're so, I guess their hearts and minds are so wrapped up. You know, they're just astonished at what happened. So they're saying nothing to each other on their way to tell the apostles. Okay, let's go to number six. The other women reported all things to the apostles and the others. Okay, number seven. After receiving the report from Mary Magdalene and the other women, blank and blank, Peter and John run to the tomb. John outruns Peter and gets to the gravesite first. He stoops in, looks into the grave, and sees the linen wrappings and does not go in. Blank enters the tomb. Peter enters the tomb and sees the linen wrappings. The face cloth, which had been on his head, was not lying with the other linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Peter finally enters the tomb. They both what? John goes to the tomb, but he didn't enter, right? He looks, he stoops in, but he didn't go in. He waits until Peter comes. And then Peter is fine entering, and then John follows behind him, I believe. Peter outruns Peter, and he gets to the grave first. He stoops in, that's John, looks in the tomb. When he stoops in, he's not in the tomb. He looks in the tomb, and he sees a linen wrapping. When I read that, I understood that that's John. He's seeing these things, but he's still not in the tomb. And the record goes on then when Peter then finally enters the tomb and sees the linen wrappings. Okay. Okay, that's a problem with the slide. Apologize for that, okay? So let's finish. Peter finally enters the tomb. They both saw. Any other words? They both believe that the, what do they believe? The body is missing, but still did not believe he has risen. They leave and go back to their homes. So again, just like when the women got to the grave, the tomb's empty, Christ has risen. No, the body's gone. Peter and John, they get the reports. They go to the grave. They look in. Body's not there. They still do not believe Christ has arisen. To me, that's kind of a shocker. I don't know how that impacts you. Maybe did you realize that? You know, we think about the gospel account, and we think, all these things that are happening here. It took a long time for these disciples to finally get it that Jesus has risen from the dead, even though they have all this evidence piling up. All right, let's go to number eight. Let's see how we're doing on time. I've got 5 minutes. So we're not going to finish here. We'll pick up on Sunday when we leave off. But let's go ahead and do number 8. Blank, blank goes back to the gravesite. Who's that? Mary Magdalene goes back to the gravesite. And again, this is the John account. Very detailed, intimate discussion. She is weeping, stoops in, and looks into the tomb. She beholds two angels, one sitting at the head of the tomb and one at the foot where the body was lying. The angel asks, why is she weeping? She says, someone has taken away the body of the Lord, and she does not know where. She turns around, and Jesus was standing next to her, but she did not recognize him. Or she saw him, but she didn't know who he was. Jesus asked her, why is she weeping? Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. And she asked him, where is the body? Jesus calls her by name. She responds, Rabboni, which the record recalls is a Hebrew meaning teacher. She now knows or believes, more stronger than knows, she believes he has risen from the dead. He tells her to stop clinging to him, for he has not yet ascended to the Father. Mary Magdalene comes to the disciples again and states, I have seen the Lord, but they refuse to believe her. Jesus' appearance to her is the first appearance. Hopefully, for those who are able to fill in the blanks, or there's the answers from the record of what this particular event encompassed. All right. I don't know if you felt this exercise helpful. You know, some work, but it kind of helps you grasp the totality of all the events happening. And there's a lot of implications on that. Okay, let's go on to number 9. Jesus meets the other women on the way, and he greets them. They take hold of his feet and worship him. Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. Okay, so when we look at the appearances, the list of all the appearances Jesus had, Mary Magdalene was the first. The second group is the other women, minus Mary Magdalene, since he appeared to her. Okay, let's do number 10. We'll probably do this and then stop. While the women were on the way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest what happened. The priest assembled the elders, counseled together, and gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers. They told the soldiers to stay that the disciples came by night and stole the body away as they slept. If this incident comes to the governor's knowledge, these leaders would convince him, that would be the governor, that would be Pilate, and keep the soldiers from harm or trouble. The story was widely reported among the Jews. So this was item number 10. So this has so many things here, some subtle things here. Let me just point out some here as we wrap up our class. Note in Matthew it says, some of the guard. So we don't know how many soldiers there were, more than one, maybe three or more. So they're frightened. They run away. And you all know that their life's on the line to keep that grave sealed. If that seal was broken and they let open, they would suffer the death penalty. So their life is on the line. And evidently some of them, you know, flee. They don't even go back, because it says some of the guard. The other thing to note here is the report of the guards. They were sleeping. So you see the unreasonableness of this. Here you got the Roman guard. Of course, they report the disciples. Of course, it was the women. But I don't know what they said with the women, but they said the disciples. But the report is they slept. How unreasonable is that? That these Roman soldiers, life on the line, guarding this tomb. It's only been a few hours. And the report was that disciples stole it as they slept. Okay, appreciate your work. So what we'll do on Sunday is we'll complete 11 through 14, and then we'll get into the lessons. So what many lessons can we learn from this record or this work that we've done here compiling this accord? So thank you for your good attention. Class dismissed.